Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dear Christian friends, our Old Testament lesson for today comes to us from the 40th chapter, the prophet Isaiah. This is one of the most significant and important passages in the Old Testament. Chapter 40 is known as the comfort chapter in Isaiah. It begins with his famous and well-known words, "Comfort, comfort ye my people," and the promise of John the Baptist. And it concludes with the declaration that we have an incomparable God, a God who created this world and sustains life in this world, a God who is all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, ever-loving. And then the chapter concludes with a message of hope. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. As I look around, I see that we really and truly need to hear and be reminded of this sacred truth given to us by our God. For many people in the church today, it seems like a dulling film has spread over their soul and stolen its luster, leaving them sort of weak and feeble. An overwhelming sense of weariness exists. Life seems so insecure, sometimes even hopeless. Many people don't feel that they have any enthusiasm for God anymore. They even feel forsaken by God. When they have problems, burdens, sicknesses, difficulties, they ignore the help and the support that God offers to them. God doesn't seem to hear them when they pray, so why bother? You know what? These are the very people to whom Isaiah was writing. For many years now, the advertising people in our society, in our culture, have taught us to look for a quick fix to our hurts, to our needs, and our concerns. Some of you might well remember the old Alka-Seltzer commercial. You know, that older fellow sitting in his kitchen, staring at the TV camera and saying, "I can't believe I ate the whole thing." Why? Just take a couple of big white pills, drop them in a glass of water, let them fizz, and plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. It'll serve and take care of just about any problem that ails you. Today, for stomach problems, we're encouraged to take that little purple pill. Or, if that doesn't work, try Zantac. If you've got a backache, try Relieve. Or better yet, get a new mattress. If you want adventure, drive responsibly in a new Jeep Wrangler. And if you want peace and tranquility, Matthew McConaughey thinks that you'll find it in a new Lincoln. And of course, money will fix just about any problem, so why not get a new mortgage? Or try the stock market? Or go to a gambling casino? Technology has flooded our lives with all sorts of gadgets and things. Talking cars, iPads, iPhones. Why, you can turn off your coffee pot and lock the doors in your home while sitting at your desk at the office 5 miles away from home by just simply touching your smartphone. The attitude of many today is captured in the bumper sticker that reads, "The one who dies with the most toys wins." Living in this day and age of unprecedented wealth has not brought lasting relief. All of this stuff does not connect with the real issues of our day. And the result is that loneliness and despair has flooded the lives of many, many people. A brief look at the serious issues we are confronting in our time might suggest reasons for these insecure and hopeless feelings. I think of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, the threat of ISIS and Al-Qaeda, economic challenges due to the rising costs of education and healthcare, unstable fuel and food costs. We're once again dealing with serious issues in immigration and racial tension. Natural disasters such as tornadoes, hurricanes, fires, and floods have caused a massive amount of damage. Add to this the multitude of moral issues impacting our society, and we've all come to realize that there really is no quick fix to the problems that we're dealing with today. The question is there any hope? Is there any hope for relief or even help? We learn in God's Word that the key to lasting relief is found in a place completely ignored and forgotten by our world, society, and culture. Listen again to the Word of God. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. God is speaking to us, and we need to listen to Him. God says that if we put our hope in Him, He will give us the strength to fly like eagles. Wow. What an experience that would be. Eagles are fantastic creatures of God. They have keen vision, sharper than any other living creature. They can see small animals move from hundreds of feet away. When they're going in for their prey, they never take their eye off the target until they have achieved victory. They are powerful birds, stately in flight. They have become the symbol of courage. As you know, the bald eagle is the emblem of the United States of America. It was adopted for this because of its magnificent majesty in flight. Almost without any effort, this bird masters the skies in flight. A couple of years ago, our family was vacationing in Monaco, Wisconsin. We were in town waiting to go into a restaurant, and we saw this large eagle perched high in an evergreen tree. I got to tell you, it was probably the largest bird I had ever seen in my life. Suddenly it lifted its wings and gracefully flew across the lake. What an awesome sight. Now when Isaiah first wrote these words, he was writing to people like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, people who were headed for exile in Babylon, people who would face tremendous spiritual and physical challenges. God did not want His people to be losers, defeated by the challenges and difficulties that came their way. God wanted them to be true spiritual champions. And as we know from our reading of Holy Scripture, God was faithful to Daniel. He survived a night in a lion's den. God was faithful to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. The king looked in and saw four, not three men, a fourth that looked like the Son of Man. Why, the men that put them in the fiery furnace died, but those three, or the fourth, survived. As they placed their hope in God, they had the strength that enabled them to rise above the dangers that surrounded them. God wants us to hear and know the same truth. As we move forward in life, we need to place our hope in the Lord. He will give us the strength that we need. Not just to cope, but to master life as the eagle masters the skies in flight. You see, we're not to be losers in life. We're not to be defeated in daily events. Our families are not to fall apart in turmoil. Fathers and mothers are not to leave their spouse and children behind. Financial chaos is not to be our doom. Peace and contentment, not violence and greed, are to shape our attitude. You know, we recoil in horror at what ISIS is doing, and yet we allow Hollywood in the movies, in television, in music, even in video games, to do much more horrific things and affect our attitudes and affect our children and young people in horrific ways. This is not God's intent. This is not God's will. The spirits in the home are not to be alcohol and drugs. You see, God wants us to be positive influences in life through the dynamic power of the living God who lives within us. We are to soar like eagles. This is a major truth of Scripture. This is the impact our faith is to have upon our lives. We are to be courageous Christian people because of the strength our God gives to us. Now, I've been trying to figure out why so many people are falling like sparrows instead of soaring like eagles. And I believe I know. You see, many people don't want life on God's terms. They want the good life on their terms. The problem is, it just doesn't work that way. This is why God sent Jesus Christ in the first place. You see, God, from the very beginning, wanted people to have a good and meaningful life on earth. He wanted them to have eternal life with Him in heaven. He had created people in a certain way that allowed them to have the good life only when they were glorifying Him, honoring Him, following Him, worshiping Him, listening to Him, and obeying Him. People were created for this way of life. But when people disobeyed, when people sinned and fell away from their Creator, the good life, the meaningful life, ended, and death entered the picture. God didn't like that. He promised a Savior, and then fulfilled this promise by sending His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the ultimate punishment for sin. Jesus Christ took our sin upon Himself, and then He endured the eternal punishment, the eternal death that you and I were to pay, that you and I were to endure. He endured it on the cross of Calvary. His miraculous resurrection from the dead on Easter Sunday assures us of His victory. In and through the Word of God and the sacrament of baptism and Holy Communion, this victory is conveyed to us today. What happened on the cross 2,000 years ago is given to you and to me through these means of grace. By faith in Him, peace and hope have returned to our lives. Yes, when Jesus Christ enters your life, He brings forgiveness, peace, joy, eternal life, and salvation. Yes, our redemption is not the quick fix way of doing things. Our redemption involved the perfect life and the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. It involves the ongoing work, the daily work of the Holy Spirit, who brings us to faith and who keeps us in the faith, once again, in and through the Word of God, in and through the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion. Too many people think that if they just say a prayer, or go to a church service once in a while, or maybe attend a Bible class here and there, they can take on the forces of hell. If I say the right thing, or do the right thing, well then, everything will be all right. That doesn't work. That's the way of the world. It's not the way of God. God's plan, God's promise is this. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What does it mean to wait for the Lord? The Hebrew word translated wait can also be translated hope. In the Old Testament, this had a very specific and definite meaning. It meant, first of all, to trust in God with all your heart, to wait for and to have a sure hope in the promised Messiah who would come to bring God's salvation to the people of the world. You and I live in the New Testament age. And in this New Testament age, we also look forward to the coming of God's Messiah, Jesus Christ. But our hope has been made even more sure by the fact that Jesus has already come. And he has conquered sin, death, and Satan on our behalf. Not only that, but Jesus comes to us in his word and in his sacrament, even now. Jesus has done for us more than we could ever do for ourselves. He has satisfied God's justice so that we could have God's peace and forgiveness. He has conquered the power of Satan and death. He opened the door of heaven and has secured eternal life for all who believe in him. Isaiah, therefore, urges us to trust in him, depend on him, hope in him, yes, wait for him. It is in that that God gives us strength. Strength that will prevent us from becoming weak, weary, and faint. Hope in the Lord. Entrust your very life into his loving and caring hands. You have been brought into the family of God by faith in Jesus Christ. As his child, seek to spend special time, yes, quality time with God each and every day. We've got a perfect example of that right in the gospel lesson for today, where Jesus goes off to a desolate place to spend time in conversation, in prayer, with his heavenly Father. Worship the Lord every week here in his house. Worship him in your house. Pray to him often. Bring him your concerns and your troubles. Bring him your joys and thanksgivings. Remember, we can do nothing of value without God. Let me ask you, do you enjoy being with God? An older Christian lamented that he sometimes wondered how many of his fellow church members would actually be in heaven with him. In heaven, he said, God's people will be with God for eternity. But here on earth, so many don't even want to have prayer time with God, or read his word, or even spend an hour a week in worship with him. Something to think about, eh? God has made a promise to each and every one of us. And it's a promise that'll not be broken. It is a promise that will not fail. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a promise. What a blessing. And it's yours through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.